As John mentioned in his welcome this past Thursday, Old South Church was honored to host the Commonwealth celebration of the 95th birthday of Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela, freedom fighter, reconciler, forgiver. From political prisoner to president of the Republic of South Africa. Recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, a man who, in the face of hardship and cruelty, on the brutal end of tyranny and terror, remained courageous, disciplined, and incorruptible. Thursday evening, this sanctuary was rocking. Birthday cake and song, speeches and dancing, Thanksgiving and celebration. It was hot as the Dickens in here, amen. But we were refreshed. We were refreshed with memories of a great, great struggle for justice. Refreshed with a documentary about Mr. Mandela's life. Refreshed with the story of this man who, as a child, herded sheep. And as a man, shepherded a nation and a people to freedom. It was hot as the Dickens in here, but we were refreshed with the presence of Boston's own living legends, men and women who, while Mandela was locked away in a prison cell, his voice muted, yet kept the struggle going. It was hot as the Dickens in here, but we were refreshed with the presence of those who refused to ignore the sufferings of people in South Africa, who stopped, and often at great personal cost, lent their own hands, their own time, their own money, their own bodies and minds in the healing of that nation. It was hot as the Dickens in here, but we were refreshed by justice rolling down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Therefore, it would be a sin, my shame. If I were to pat us on the back today for hosting Thursday's precious celebration, and if I were at the same time to ignore those who suffer today in this land right now on account of race. If I were to ignore those who, in the wake of the Zimmerman trial, are crying out to be heard and to be understood, crying out for their suffering to be acknowledged. There is a divide in our country. There's a difference between being white and being black. Now, under the law, we're all equal, I know. And in the eyes of God, we are all equal. We have those precious words from the book of Genesis that all of us, every single one of us, is made in the image and the likeness of God. Amen? But experience matters. The experience of being inside of dark skin is different than the experience of being inside of white skin. So I need to talk to the white people here today. White people, you know I love you. Some of my closest friends are white. But in this one, I think we've got to shut up. Be silent. Stop talking. Stop opining on the matter and listen. It's time to close our mouths, open our hearts, and listen, and hear what it is that people of color experience in this land of freedom and equality. I don't think this is the time to argue. Let's not argue. Let's not argue over the verdict. Let's not argue over the evidence. Can we agree together? I think we can agree together that there is a great national sadness over what occurred, over the tragic, unnecessary loss of a young, young life. God help us all. But then let's listen. White people, let's listen. It behooves white America to listen to sisters and brothers of color and hear their experience and their take on this. And I'd like to suggest a single ground rule in this listening project. One simple ground rule, and that is this: that listening to CNN or Fox News or Jon Stewart or talk radio, that doesn't count in your listening. That doesn't count at all. Just forget all of that. Listen to somebody in person, in front of you, looking them in the eyes. I'm asking that we listen, really listen, to one another. Now, I was going to preach from the book of the prophet Amos today. That's what my sermon was about, Amos's vision of rotten fruit. Instead, I invite you to read the book of Amos. It's only 9 chapters. And I'll just give you a summary of it, a summary of those 9 chapters. The book of Amos is about how the failure of the secure and of the privileged, how the failure of the secure and of the privileged, the failure of people like me, secure and advantaged in every way imaginable, how the failure of the secure and the privileged to feel sympathy for those whose lives are insecure breaks God's heart and makes God furious. So don't break God's heart. Don't make God furious. I've been living with the book of Amos all week and reread it again yesterday from beginning to end, and believe me, you don't want to make God furious. Instead, we can make God's heart glad. We can make God's heart glad by listening. Let's listen. Amen.